So I am a little bit nervous, a lot nervous. I was back there right now praying for ice to start falling. I said, come on, God, just let the ice come right now and we could avoid all this. I'm not a very good public speaker. When I was in high school, I would literally take the F on an assignment just to avoid getting up in front of the class and doing this right now. But I thank God because I feel that God's done something in my heart, and you know, and there's stuff that I want to share, not just what I have tonight. I feel that, you know, as we've come around God and you know, we walk with him for a while and we bump our heads a lot. I've learned by bumping my head a lot that there's stuff that, you know, we can grow together on. And if there's anything that I could share with anyone is to learn from others' mistakes, that you aren't walking around bumping your head all the time. And, you know, somebody told me that like 20 years ago and I didn't listen, and I'm stubborn and I wanted to bump my head. But so tonight, as we get started, I know it's going to be different. We probably won't go all the way till 8 o'clock. I'm not going to talk to you guys for an hour straight, but we do have cookies and drinks. So we'll just hang out after and try to let the kids' church and the youth and stuff finish. But with, how do I want to do this? When, I kind of want to do prayer petitions tonight. If anybody has anything they want to pray for. Yes, definitely. Everybody, please keep Pastor Jack in prayer. Pray that his recovery is quick. I know he's already talking about trying to make it in Sunday. And just pray. Anybody else? I'm sorry? Your health? Definitely. Pray for everyone's safety on the freeways. Can't really see in the back very well. Anybody else have a prayer request? All right. Let's pray. God, for your help, everybody's health. Amen. Amen. It seems like this is a time of year for it. Anybody else? Our family and our friends? Amen. All right, let's pray. And if everyone could just pray with me. Just pray for me. I'm pretty nervous, but God's got this. Father, we come to you tonight and we just give you praise and we give you honor tonight, God, as we're here, God, and things look a little different, God, but we know that you showed up tonight. God, I pray that you would open our hearts, God, that you would just do what you came to do tonight, God. I pray for everyone that's in the dangers in California, God, with the fires. I pray that, God, you would just work something miraculous in the middle of that, God. It seems like it's out of control, God, and like it's just ripping through everywhere. But God, we pray that something miraculous would happen. We pray that, God, you would give the people the strength to stand there and fight that fire, God, that they would be able to push it back, God. And I pray for the people there, that you would get them to safety, God, and help them on the other side of the recovery, God. God, I just pray for everyone's overall health, God, for our friends, for our families, God, in this time of winter, God, in the middle of sickness, God. I pray that you would just make us whole, God. I pray that you would keep us healthy. I pray for just health to come, God. I pray for each and every one of us tonight, God. I pray that I pray that you would just keep us all healthy, God. Keep us close to you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And if I forgot something, I'm sorry. It got really hot up here. So I want to open it up also. Does anybody have a praise report? We're going to kind of go old school tonight. Has anything happened in the last week or so that anyone wants to share? Yeah? Oh, amen. 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 Well, I got a praise report. I put some PTO time in like 3 weeks ago, and it just so happens it was for Thursday and Friday. So I'm going to be at home in the house, so kind of happy about that. Praise God. He gave me a little bit of wisdom. Anybody else? It's hard to see in the back. Andrea? Awesome. Amen. Anybody else? All right. You guys ain't giving me no time here. Go ahead. Amen. Amen.
That is a miracle.
That is a miracle. Yeah. Amen. I mean, you just look to your right or your left, and you're going to see a room full of miracles in here, you know? I see a hand back there. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Definitely. We all did wake up this morning. Anyone else? I don't want to cut anybody off. If they want to share something, go ahead. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. All right. I don't see any more hands. All right. Here we go. Well, yeah. If I pass out, don't call 911. I'll wake up. Literally, I was sitting back there earlier, and I don't know if I was breathing right. My chest was real tight. I'm like, I just need to take some deep breaths. This is a big deal for me. I don't take it lightly. I'm very honored to have just been asked to fill in tonight, and I don't take it lightly because it's something else to be up here and try to share the word of God with people. And you know, if I fumble over my words, and just forgive me, man. I'm This is my first time. I'm a newbie. So to kind of give you a little bit of backstory about me, just so everybody can kind of get to know, familiar. Like I was saying earlier, my wife and I, we came to Grace Point a long time ago, and the whole landscape was different here. I mean, you know, quite a few people that were here, but, you know, just from every aspect of it. And we've seen this church grow from, you know, a smaller one service to two services. And at one point, we were having three services before COVID kicked off. And being part of the worship team, that was a big deal. Every Sunday, three services, you know, and then COVID happened. And I remember coming back from COVID, and the first couple of months, we could have probably filled up one of the smaller sections. And that was all we had coming. And all of a sudden, you know, and it started growing again. And to see so many new faces coming all of the time and getting like planted here, it's such a blessing to see, you know, from one season to another season. And it's like, man, it's awesome. You know, you guys are encouraging. I love being able to meet new people. I love walking in, and I know my wife's the same way. She'll sneak around and take your pictures, and the next thing you know, you're on Facebook. But it's exciting. It's exciting to see everyone that is sticking around and showing up. I love it. But tonight, you know, this is the first night of the new year, or I guess first Wednesday that we've been here for New Year's. And I just kind of wanted to talk about something, and it was, I don't know, I almost felt like I bit off more than I could chew with trying to break the scripture down, but I think we're going to go somewhere with it. And tonight, I want to look at John chapter 12. If anyone has their Bible, sorry, like I said, I'm new, I don't have any slides. So, John chapter 12, verse 27, 28, 29. It says, "Now my soul is troubled." This is Jesus talking. And it says, "And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice from heaven came and said, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." So John 12, to do a little bit of a backstory, John 12 starts with Jesus and his disciples coming to Bethany. I didn't want to read the whole chapter out loud because we'd have been here forever. But Jesus comes into Bethany, and he goes into a place where Lazarus was with Martha and Mary. We see Jesus having dinner, sitting down, you know, and this is where Mary anoints Jesus' feet with the nard. As we keep going down, we see another crowd begin to gather after the dinner. And, you know, they are coming to see Jesus, but they're also coming to see Lazarus. Because in chapter 11, Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. So, you know, everybody was kind of talking. They wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to see Lazarus. And then we keep on going. The next section in chapter 12, we see that there's a plot to kill Jesus. The Pharisees are, you know, trying to build a plan to put Jesus to death. But now in that plan, they see that everyone has noticed Lazarus, and they start planning to kill Lazarus too. Because a lot of the Jews were starting to believe in Jesus even more. In verse 12, we see what is called the triumphant entry. The city was full of people. They're all coming from all over the place to celebrate the Passover. See, here we go, dude. I already know when I get nervous, I can't pronounce words. A crowd gathered. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, right? Everybody knows these stories. Jesus rides in the city. You know, he borrows a donkey. He comes in, which was fulfilling the prophecy in Zechariah 9. In verse 20, we see a group of Gentiles approach Philip and asking to see Jesus, right? But verse 23, and we're going somewhere. Verse 23, Jesus answers with a parable. He says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. He continues with, unless a grain of wheat falls from the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. In terms, Jesus knew his time had come. You know, he was kind of projecting about his death and his resurrection, even though he was speaking in a parable. Now, though we kind of painted a picture of that chapter, right, or leading up to where we're at, we see a total chaotic scene. We see Jesus in a house eating dinner. You know, we see him around his closest friend. You know, we see him having to deal with people trying to betray him. You know, one of his own group was trying to betray him. You know, at the same time, he realizes that there's a group of people that want to kill him and his friend. You know, he comes into a city surrounded by a bunch of people throwing their clothes down and singing praise to him. And these same people, in just, you know, a few hours or a few days, they're going to be the same people screaming, crucify him. You know, now we see a group of Gentiles come up to see him. But these Gentiles, they didn't have that access to Jesus yet, because they weren't Jewish people. So there's all these things coming at Jesus from every different direction. He's with his closest friends, you know. He sees that one of them is going to stab him in the back. He sees, you know, a group of the Pharisees, they're all plotting against him. Now it's not just against him, but they want to kill his friend as well. And, you know, when you get these people I'm sure his heart was there with these Gentiles, but he couldn't come out and say anything because he had to speak to him in a parable, say, hey, I have to die first before this kingdom can advance and you can come. Everything is total chaos in this moment. You know, I could only imagine everything being thrown at Jesus in 20 different directions. So, needless to say, he was under a tremendous amount of pressure. But when we look at this crowd that gathered around Jesus, you know, we have four different groups of people in this crowd. We had just basically the general crowd. You know, there were a group of people who were there for the festival, but heard Jesus was coming and wanted to get a peek at him. I'm sure some of these people had heard stories of the miraculous things Jesus had done, the way he had healed the sick, the way he had raised Lazarus from the dead, the way he had taught and fed thousands of people in the middle of the field. I'm sure some people in this crowd were just looking for handouts. Some were probably curious of what kind of show they would get. And some people were probably genuinely looking to get close to Jesus. Sorry, and if it seems like I'm reading, I am, because I knew I was going to forget half of what I wanted to say. The next group of people were the Pharisees. These people were the religious people. They were the ones plotting to kill Jesus and to put a stop to what he was doing. They were jealous of Jesus because he was able to do things they weren't able to do, right? And then we had his disciples. This was Jesus' inner circle. You know, these are the people he had spent the last few years of his life with. You know, he poured his life into these people. You know, even though the disciples weren't perfect, they didn't have it all together. They didn't understand everything that Jesus was teaching them. You know, they didn't understand the parables all the time he was telling them. They made a lot of mistakes, but they were always close to Jesus. We see the next group of people were the Greeks, the Gentile people. You know, and it's not really clear where these people were from. Were they Greek by birth, or were they Greek-speaking Jews, or were they just random non-Jewish people? But we do know there were a group of outsiders. This group were most likely believers in God, or believers in the God of Israel, because they had came to Jerusalem for the festival. Oh, but what does verse 27 say? It says, "Now my soul is troubled." In other words, Jesus was shaken to his core. Whew, it's getting hot, man. You guys are quiet too. Sorry. So Jesus knew he was about to face an unjust death, to be executed, to be branded a rebel and a criminal. But he recognized it was all necessary for the redemption of humanity. So in verse 28 and 29, we see God speak from heaven. I'm going to read it. Where was it at? I'm going to read those three scriptures again. It says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Before this purpose I have come. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." This is the verse that gets me, though. It says, "The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said it was an angel that had spoken to him." So Jesus was talking to the Father. He kind of said it, you know, he said it out loud, and the Father answered in an audible voice. It tells us, you know, he heard out loud. And we see this all over the Old Testament. We see God speaking to people, you know, from Moses at the burning bush. We see it in Isaiah 6 when God calls Isaiah. We see, you know, even at Job where God speaks to Job and he kind of answers Job after the back and forth between Job and all of his friends. We see, you know, God speak to people in the book of Daniel, in the book of Jeremiah, all over the book of Genesis and Exodus. We see this stuff happening all over the place. We see it a couple of other times, too, in the New Testament. You know, we see when in Matthew 3:16 and 17, when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, you know, I'll read it. It says, "And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" How amazing would it be to hear God speak from heaven? But then you see these other people, and when God spoke from heaven, some of them didn't recognize it. Some of them thought they heard a natural thunderclap, or they heard something. Some of them just thought, you know, some of them kind of had an idea. It was like, "Oh man, did an angel speak to him?" But not everybody understood what the voice of God was. And that's kind of where I know I kind of took a long way around to get there, but that's what I want to talk about tonight. We see it again on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17:5. It says, "He was still speaking when behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.'" And then here in John 12. So this crowd around Jesus had a lot of different people. We've seen the Pharisees. We've seen the Jewish or the Greek Gentiles. We've seen the general crowd who were there just for the festival. And then we've seen the disciples were there. Some of these people didn't hear God's voice at all. They heard what sounded like thunder. Others heard a voice but didn't recognize it was God. I believe because of verse 30, and I don't think I read 30, that the disciples that were close to him knew it was the voice of God. Excuse me. So verse 30 says, "And Jesus answered, 'This voice has come for your sake, not mine.'" So I really think that God was saying, did I bring my water up here? Oh. I really think people that were close to Jesus understood and knew that that was the voice of God. I feel like I'm going 100 miles an hour. Sorry. But tonight I kind of want to I want to talk about different ways that God could speak to us. And forgive me that I feel like it's not coming out as clear as I wanted it to. Does anybody have their Bible? Can you read Job 33:14? Amen. So for God speaks in one way and in two ways, though man does not perceive it. I really like how you said it. So sometimes God could speak and we might not understand it. We might not get the gist of what's God saying. It might be through circumstance. It might be through other people. And I don't want to get weird and get over, I don't want to cross any bounds, but you know, not everything somebody says is going to be from God. And I'll come out and say that right now, but there's times that God could speak into somebody's life through another person. You know, if somebody comes up to you tonight and is like, hey, God just told me that you're supposed to marry me, don't marry them. Just being honest, that's probably not from God. You know, people can get weird sometimes. But I know that God has spoken into my life through other people. Has anybody had an experience where they feel like God has spoken to them? And I'm not talking, now, if God has, you've heard the voice of God, I'm not shooting that down at all. I can't say that I've heard that. I've felt things in my heart, and I felt the voice where I had a sentence or two pop in my head, and I'm like, that can't be me, because my intrusive thoughts are not typically good. I have to fight that back. But then something comes in, and I'm like, man, I'm not smart enough to think of that, you know, and I know that is God. But has anybody else ever experienced that? Does anybody want to share one? Go ahead.
Thanks. I don't want to say that it was like because of me that she was healed or like that I did this thing, but my mom was healed like within like days after that, because I like proclaimed like this sentence that I feel the Lord gave me all day long. Like every time I seen it, I had it in my pocket. I took it to chapel. We had like an encounter service that night, and like I prayed over my mom like every single day, like these words that the Lord gave me. So yeah.
I'll kind of piggyback off of Hannah. So when we were praying for healing in my body, I had been, anyway, I was supposed to have my surgery for this cyst tumor to be removed in October. And right before the surgery, literally days before the surgery, I got COVID. And so then they said, well, we can't do the surgery because, you know, you're going to contaminate all of us. So then I did it. Then they rescheduled me for a month later, almost to the day. And so when I went in the day before the surgery for them to prep me, you know, do blood work, do all that stuff to prep me for surgery the next day, that was on a Tuesday. The surgery was supposed to be that Wednesday. Well, that Sunday before, I can remember it clear as day, Jason was driving, I was in the car, and we were going through the parking lot or through the gas station Quick Trip by our house, and I remember that God's voice came in my head, and he said, do you still believe that you can be healed? Because I had been believing for my healing, and it didn't happen when I thought it was going to happen in October, and they had to reschedule me for November. And I remember replying in my head, and I said, yes, of course, I do believe that. And the thought left, it went away, I didn't even think about it again. And then when I went in on Tuesday and the doctor was prepping me, and she said, well, I'm going to do an ultrasound so I could see, you know, the tumor and everything. And she said, I don't see it. And immediately that thought came to my head. The Holy Spirit prompted me to remember when he asked me, do you still believe that I can heal you, that you can be healed? And I remembered that, and I started praying, and I was like, God, let it be that when she checks again that you can't, that they can't see it. And they moved me to a different room, and she said, I'm going to use that machine because that machine is the best one in our office, and so I'll be able to see it in there. And we went in there, and they still couldn't see it. And she said, I don't know what happened, but it's gone. And I remembered that the Holy Spirit had asked me, and I replied and said, I do believe. So yes, I do believe that God can speak to us audibly too.
Okay, I won't be as eloquent, but 4 years ago, I was really struggling to, as I was recommitting my life to Christ, I was having a hard time understanding God's forgiveness for a sin. And we're doing this cardboard testimony in front of these people I don't even know, and I was struggling to write a victory down from this sin. And I've read it in scripture. I understood. But it really felt like God used this amazing woman to tell me that my victory is that I was forgiven. And she was quoting the same scripture that I had been reading. But it was like God had to shout it out through someone else. His words. It was scripture based for me to be like, yeah, he forgives me. And it was an abortion when I was 30. So it was pretty heavy. And I felt like he uses people. And you do have to be careful. And if you can bring it back to the word. But it was an unbelievable feeling. So thanks for letting me share.
My name is Connie, and when I was young, a young mom, I witnessed someone that loved Jesus, and I said, oh boy, I want to go to your church. They gave me a Bill Bright, 4 Spiritual Laws. I set it down on the table. The next day, I mean, I'm just crying because the marriage was going to where the marriage was going. Okay, and I picked up the 4 Spiritual Laws and I read about heaven and hell and Jesus and everything, and I said, oh Lord, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And there was an audible voice, and I know it was Daddy God, and he said, Connie, call me by name. He said, Connie, I love you. Your sins are forgiven. You're not going to hell. You're going to heaven. And then all heaven broke loose. Okay. Thank you for letting me share.
So here are some pretty awesome testimonies, to be honest. You know, I think it's awesome to see God moving in people's lives like that. And I was going to go into Jonah and how at the beginning of the book of Jonah, you know, God called him to go to Tarshish to go to Nineveh, and he ended up running. And we see him hear the voice of God, but he decides he's not going to listen to it. And I'm not going to get into a lot of details, but I know that I see myself in that story. I know that God has put things on my heart, and I refused, or I said no, you know, from the simplest things to seeing somebody in need and trying to look the other way, you know, for a lot of things that would have been easy and wouldn't even have hurt. And whether I feel like I don't have the time or I don't have the patience for it. And you know, through all of that, I guess I don't want to be the person in the crowd that hears God speak and I don't recognize his voice. I don't want to say no so much that I don't hear God's voice and I hear something else and I'm not able to recognize that, you know? I guess it's just hard. You know, and I was going to talk about Abraham a little bit when God spoke to him and told him to take his son to the mountain. And, you know, the word of the Lord came to him and he said, go sacrifice your son on the mountain in the middle of the desert, you know. And he was faithful all the way to the point of taking his son to the top of the mountain and placing him on the altar they had built. And he grabbed the knife and he raised it in the air and the voice of God said, stop, you know. It was like right in the nick of time. And if anybody's here tonight and God's telling them to go kill somebody, call somebody, that's probably not the voice of God. But, you know, God speaks in so many different ways. And we've heard people, you know, that have said they felt the voice. They heard the voice inside. We've heard God speak to somebody through somebody else. You know, we see God speaking through a book. And how many times have you picked the Bible up and read a scripture and it just seems like those words were alive? It was life-changing. There was a scripture that was right for you right on time, and you know, you almost felt like you just flipped it open. And it's not like it's a, you know, a magic book, but God's word is alive. That, you know, when I was 19 years old, I was had a pretty rough upbringing, man. It was just a lot of drugs, a lot of violence, broken family, you know. But I ended up going to a baby dedication at a church, and I had been up for a couple days, man. I was spun out, and for some reason the pastor spotted me out of the crowd and he came up and started ministering to me. And at this point I had never really went to church, and he shared the gospel with me that day, and he ended up praying with me. And I didn't understand it at the time, you know, and I felt, oh man, this is weird. I got goosebumps. What was that? And looking back, that was the presence of God. That was the first time I ever felt the presence of God. And I didn't understand it at that time, but looking back, that was literally the point of my life when everything started to fall apart. You know, I couldn't hold a job. I tried to go in the military, and it just, man, nothing but trouble. And, you know, I did my time in the military. I got out. I ended up in Oklahoma City and went right back to the same thing. I was on drugs, and I was strung out. I was just drinking like crazy, and I ended up homeless under a bridge in my 20s, you know. And nothing wrong with me, just didn't have a desire, didn't have a will. And I came to a really dark place. And for some reason, I wasn't the kind of person that would pray. I didn't even think I believed at the time. And I was sitting there under the bridge, and it was raining. And I told God, I said, man, God, if you're real, I need to know. I want to know right now. And I'm saying these words out loud, and I hear footsteps, and I open my eyes, and there's a guy walking down the side of the road, and he comes right up to me. And I'm trying to tell him, like, man, get away from me. I don't want to talk to you, you know. And he stops and he says, hey, I just came to tell you that Jesus loves you. And so God speaks, man. God speaks. God speaks to our hearts. God speaks through other people. And I guess going into 2025, you know, my prayer tonight is that we're sensitive to what God is trying to show us. You know, my prayer is that everybody's heart is sensitive to what God wants to do in this coming year. And, you know, I'm not trying to be cliche with, you know, the New Year's resolution, but let us be sensitive. Let us listen for the nudge that God wants to give us, man. Do you realize the impact we can make in our community if we would just all say yes to the little things God is trying to do? You know, and I get it. I'm not made of money. I can't stop and give every person I see on the corner, you know, $20. I wouldn't be able to pay my rent. But we're going to know when that time comes and God is moving us to help somebody. And when we're helping, we could share Jesus. We could share and make an impact, make a real impact with somebody's life, man. Because at the end of it, that's what it's about, others, you know. Well, that's kind of all I got. I'm just going to close in prayer. I know we're about 15 minutes early, but if we can just we're going to close in prayer. I think we have cookies and coffee and stuff out here, but if we could just let the other services across the street finish up. God, I just thank you for everyone in this room tonight, God. I pray for us to open our hearts to when you want to speak to us, God. I pray that you would let our hearts and our ears be sensitive to you. God, when you would nudge us to do something, that we wouldn't hesitate, God, but we would be quick to say yes. I pray that, God, you would give us strength when we feel like we don't have strength. I pray that you would give us boldness when we feel like we don't have boldness, God. I pray that you would give us courage when we feel timid, God. I pray that you would just continue, God, to grow us as a family, God, that you would continue to bless us as a family. And I just pray for the needs of each of us that are here tonight, God. I pray that there would be something supernatural to take place, God. Father, we love you and we thank you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.